We have a special guest on the line right now to talk about some critical issues here in the state of Connecticut. I'd like to welcome to the program now Patrick Johnson, Jr. He's the interim executive director at the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits based in Hartford. And, Patrick, it's great to have you on the program here tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. It's my pleasure.
Maybe just say a quick word about the work that you've been doing there at the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits for a number of years now.
I'd be happy to do that. I'm currently serving as the interim executive director of Connecticut Association of Nonprofits, and the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits is really a trade association that represents about 500 nonprofit agencies across the state. It includes human service agencies and also agencies involved in the visual and performing arts and a whole variety of nonprofits, a fairly comprehensive representation of organizations that are essentially about 10 to 12% of GDP in Connecticut.
Well, full disclosure, I was at a meeting this past week, and I'm part of an organization that is a member of the Connecticut Association for Nonprofits, but it was a meeting that focused on a whole host of issues, but what our subject is this evening is a planned lobby day that you have for May 6th in response to Governor Daniel Malloy's proposed budget cuts to a lot of human service agencies across the state, public and private, and Patrick Johnson, maybe review for our listeners some of the concerns you have about Governor Malloy's proposed budget cuts.
Well, I've been administering human services in Connecticut now for over 45 years, and throughout my career, I have to say that I've never seen a budget that is as draconian in its cuts as this one. And it's pretty much across the board, and particularly in human services, affects some of the most vulnerable people in the state. And this includes people with mental health issues, people with substance use issues, people with developmental disabilities, people with autism, pretty much across the spectrum. And these cuts are deep. I'm talking about $400 million in cuts in this current governor's budget. And what presents a particularly troublesome dimension to all of this is these cuts come on top of 25 years of chronic underfunding of state contracts. State of Connecticut purchases services from private nonprofit organizations in the community to address vital human needs for very vulnerable people. And for the past 25 years, the average cost of living adjustments to our state contracts has been less than one-half of 1% for 25 years. So, for example, in the last 7 years, our state contracts have been totally flat. There's been no movement whatsoever. But at the same time, just in the last 5 years, inflation's going up 2 to 3% a year. So just in the last 5 years, nonprofit organizations providing human services have had to basically adjust to what is essentially over $100 million in de facto cuts that result as because of inflation. So even when funding is flat, it is a de facto cut because the cost of living and the cost of care goes up. So presents an enormous challenge for us this time around.
Patrick, could you give our listeners some examples of the cuts that are being proposed by Governor Malloy and the actual impact it may have on individuals with disabilities, individuals who are undergoing treatment for mental health disorders, substance abuse? As you mentioned, there's a host of human needs agencies that can only assist these folks if there is some funding there to hire the staff to do so. Maybe you could speak in terms of the individual impact here, which I think makes it real.
I could give you some examples. For example, if you're a parent with a child with a developmental disability or a child with autism who is graduating from or completing their high school studies this coming year, And traditionally, when one graduated from high school and all of the public funding that goes along with school systems, when that stops, the parents need alternative programming for their now adult children. And just to give you an example, so you have a child with a significant disability, they complete their studies, and they require significant supervision, in some cases 24-hour-a-day line-of-sight supervision. And in previous years, what would happen would be that the State Department of Developmental Services would step in and provide some assistance to enable families to, and parents in particular, to continue working while the child attended a day program. Well, in the current state budget, that day programming is now eliminated for any new individuals transitioning out of the school system. So they would have nowhere to go. So a parent or parents would have to quit their employment and stay home with their loved one because they don't have an alternative for services. So that's one example. The same kind of thing in terms of access to services exists in the services that are funded through the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. And you know, we see here in the Hartford Current in the last few days a fairly substantial article having to do with the rapidly escalating numbers of young people and adults in need of mental health services who are showing up in emergency rooms. And of course, the reason for that is that the services are not readily available in their communities. So the only alternative they have, and it's a very expensive alternative, is to show up at the emergency room. There are other examples. I mean, these cuts go very deep. And just to show you how deep they go, the state is responsible for the burial of indigents, for example, in Connecticut. So if a person passes away and they have no family and no relatives, in fact, it may not even be known who they are. A body is found in a railroad car or something of that nature. And the state is responsible for arranging their burial. Historically, it used to be the towns, but the state took that responsibility over a number of years ago. And up until recently, the state allowed $1,800 for the services of a funeral home prepare the body and arrange for burial. They have now cut $800 per person from that funding down to $1,000. These are just a few examples of the kinds of things that are happening and the impact that can have. In the meantime, there's a lengthy waiting list for services. Again, you know, for example, with the Department of Developmental Services, a waiting list of a few thousand people who need residential care. A good example is an aged parent who has been caring for an adult disabled child all of their lives, and the parent is now in their 70s or 80s and can no longer provide care or is reaching a point where they want to have a plan in place. And they've been told that no plan can be put in place until either they are hospitalized and totally unable to care for their loved one or until they die. And they really like to have a plan in place before they die. And provide for transition for their loved one, because after all, they're the only one who really knows that person extremely well. So the impact on individual people and families, and the stories I've told can be multiplied, you know, thousands of times in terms of mental health and developmental disabilities, certainly in Connecticut.
Thanks for that rundown, Patrick. Before we lose sight of the activity that you're helping to organize on May 6th, please do tell us about the People Matter Coalition and the Lobby Day that's going to be taking place at the Legislative Office Building at the State Capitol in Hartford. Maybe you could talk about the groups that are part of the coalition and the objective on that particular day up at the Legislative Office Building.
Sure. The People Matter campaign is really a coalition of nonprofit groups. Includes obviously the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits, But it also includes the ARC of Connecticut, Families for Families, the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits, the Connecticut Community Providers Association, the Connecticut Council of Family Service Agencies, the Connecticut Nonprofit Human Service Alliance, the HARC in Hartford, the NAMI Connecticut, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, OKIL, which is a major provider of services to families with disabilities, Our Families Can't Wait, and we also have some support from SEIU, the bargaining unit that represents thousands of people who are direct care providers in the nonprofit human service arena, and these are the folks who have been basically underpaid for many years as a result of flat funding. The dirty little secret here is, you know, how have we managed to balance our budget over the years with flat funding? And it's on the backs of our employees, many of whom are making wages that are below what a living wage is, and each year they're facing cuts in wages and benefits as a result of the chronic underfunding. So we've got a fairly diverse group of supporters involved in this coalition, and our one of our major events is coming up on May 6th, as you indicated, Scott, and we're planning to get representatives from the community, essentially the families and individuals that are affected by this, who have been seeking our help and our guidance, and we've urged them to speak for themselves, and we hope that as many as possible will show up on May 6th on our lobby day, which happens to come a few days before Mother's Day this year. So we've been calling it of late the mother of all lobby days. And we'll have a kind of a sub-theme there about the impact this has on mothers. Because when you think about who actually provides a lot of the care and services, both professionally working in agencies, but also the moms at home with their disabled children, whether they be young children or adult children, much of the burden of care falls on women and falls on moms. And so we thought we would recognize that on Lobby Day as well.
We're speaking with Patrick Johnson, Jr., Interim Executive Director with the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits. We're talking about Governor Malloy's proposed budget cuts to human services agencies around the state, affecting thousands of people, and the People Matter Coalition Lobby Day scheduled for May 6th. Patrick, from what I understand, people from the community will gather at the Legislative Office Building and meet with their legislative representatives in the Connecticut House and the Connecticut Senate. And what will they be urging them to do? Restore these cuts that are being proposed by the governor?
Yes, absolutely. And we hope to start at 10 a.m. On that day, on May 6th. Of course, people can come at any point, and you know, to do this. But if we focus on May 6th and throughout that day, we hope to have hundreds of people up there seeking to meet with their legislators. We know the legislature will be in session that day, and so another reason why you know, if folks come, they can be fairly assured that their senator or representative will be there. And we are indeed urging them to restore the cuts that were put in the governor's budget. We think it's really unconscionable to be balancing the state budget on the backs of the most vulnerable people in the state. You know, people with a variety of illnesses, whether they be mental illness or developmental disabilities. People who otherwise would be leading lives of, you know, with dignity, and this deprives them of that, and the chronic underfunding deprives them of that. The real tragedy here is the state has been balancing its budget on the backs of people with disabilities and the people who care for them. for the last 25 years. And we're at a point now where, should these cuts go into effect, the waiting lists will be made longer, nonprofit agencies will be reducing their staffs, cutting back on services even deeper, and depriving people of the vital and essential services that is so needed by all of these families.
Patrick, maybe I can get you to comment and provide some overview of the politics here. We have a Democratic Party governor, Daniel Malloy, here in Connecticut. We have a House and Senate in the state of Connecticut controlled by the Democrats. What's the dynamic here? Why is Governor Malloy proposing such deep cuts? And I think it has to be said, I'll just sort of reemphasize what you said a moment ago, that these people are vulnerable. They're also relatively politically powerless. They don't have a lot of clout at the state capitol in Hartford. So it may be easier for politicians to balance the budget on the backs of folks who can't fight back. And that's not true here in Connecticut only. It sort of happens around the world when it comes to these legislative processes. But maybe you can speak to why you think Governor Malloy has made and proposed these very deep and hurtful cuts to the people who can probably least afford it. And I guess on the other side of things, your hope that the legislature won't take this budget at face value, that they'll change it and that they'll, you know, that they'll restore some of these proposed cuts.
Well, I think the politics involved kind of goes back a ways where Governor Malloy made a pledge during his last campaign that he would not raise taxes. And during or shortly after his initial election to office, there was a significant increase in taxes in an effort to get the state budget back under control and back in balance. And at that time, there were economic projections that were perhaps too optimistic, and the expectation was that the state economy would bounce back and that state revenue would improve. And in fact, there might even be surpluses in state revenue, and he could cut back in taxes. Unfortunately, that did not happen. The economy has not grown at the rate that was anticipated. State revenue has fallen behind, and it is not keeping pace with inflation, nor is it keeping pace with the level of spending at the state as projected in the budget. So not only is he making an effort now to get the budget under control, but he also has a promise to live up to, and you know, we believe that's why he submitted the budget he did. The tragedy here is how he chose to balance the budget, again, you know, focusing on the most vulnerable people that are least influential and least powerful. In fact, many of them have no way to literally speak for themselves. Others have to speak on their behalf, and we view that as our job to some degree as advocates and their families as well. So now we're in a situation where he has this budget. As the chief executive, he proposes a budget. It goes to the legislature. It's the legislature's job to then propose an alternative budget, and we expect that to come out shortly, within the next week or two. And when that comes out, we're not sure exactly what it will do. We're hoping that it does restore some of the cuts. But then comes the real, the biggest question of all, and that is, how will the cuts be paid for if they are in fact restored in the budget? And the Appropriations Committee in the state legislature is the committee of cognizance that will put together the legislature's alternative budget. Once that's put together, the Finance Revenue and Bonding Committee then has to look at, okay, so now we've got two budgets here, and they have different approaches to how to keep the budget in balance. Where do we get the funding to do this? Does it come from tax increases, from fee increases, for adjustments to tax exemptions, a whole variety of different options they can choose from, in an effort to put together a package that will be balanced and that will work, and that we will that will stay within the spending cap, which is a whole other dimension with the Connecticut budget that limits the growth in the state budget, and So we now have a situation where the legislature is attempting to put this budget together and get it passed. But to do that, if they're planning to add additional revenue, for example, they're going to need the support of a broad base of legislators who would be willing to improve the revenue picture. But many of them may be quite gun-shy, although they may not have made promises to increase taxes, that they wouldn't increase taxes. They may be in a place where they're looking at, well, we've got to do something here. The cuts are to human services. If we don't, it could effectively cost the state even more money if the alternative is the emergency room, the alternative to community-based care. So at the end of the day, we'll have two budgets, one by the legislature, one by the governor, and then begins the final negotiations to iron out what the state budget will be. And once all parties are heard from in the House and the Senate and the constituents and all ideas are out on the table, a small team of people involving the governor, his staff at OPM, the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, the co-chairs of Finance, and the co-chairs of Appropriations will sit down together, and that small handful of people will iron out what the final budget will be for the state of Connecticut moving forward, and will iron out how they pay for it. And are there other places they can make cuts? You know, how can they get this back in balance in a way that will minimize the impact, particularly on the disabled and the poor, who are the most vulnerable in the community. So it's a lengthy process, but it's going to be coming rapidly to a close between now and the beginning of June when the session is scheduled to end.
Well, Patrick, just a final question here. As you talk to legislators at the state capitol, are you optimistic that you have some sympathetic ears up there that can make a difference in negotiations? And I guess the second part of that question is, how much of a difference will a large showing of support on your lobby day to reverse these cuts, how much of a difference will that make in terms of, you know, the legislators' actions and, you know, their perceived their perception of the problem?
Well, I think given what we're attempting to do here with a broader coalition of organizations, we're hoping to impress upon the legislature the import of the decisions that they're about to make and the crisis that they can create if they fail to do so. Because if they fail to do so, there'll be a number of nonprofit organizations that will close, essentially being driven out of business because they're so financially fragile. There'll be the loss of hundreds of jobs in the nonprofit sector. There'll be the elimination of programs and significant reductions in services and access to services. There'll be creation of even a longer waiting list for vital services. And all of this on top of the 25 years of underfunding and an ongoing freezing of wages and reduction in wages. And this has an impact on the economy as well as the private agencies. So we're optimistic that legislators will hear what we say, but we have to have a presence and they need to see their constituents and be impressed that their constituents are there to support them in whatever decisions they need to make in order to get this budget in balance in a way that is more humane and respectful of the most vulnerable people in the state. So we are optimistic and recognize the challenges that the legislature faces, but again, the balancing of the state budget can't be on the backs of the most vulnerable.
Well, Patrick, what's the website where people can get more information about these budget cuts as well as the lobby day at the state capitol on May 6th?
Well, they can. There is a website for hashtag People Matter, and also they could certainly go to our website at www.ctnonprofits.org for more information.
All right. I appreciate you making time and joining us this evening to talk about this important this important issue of these budget cuts, the looming budget cuts, and your response and the coalition response. So thank you, Patrick, and maybe we could talk again, you know, as we get closer here to some final outcome after lobby day, and we'll stay in touch. But thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure, Scott, and my sincere thanks to you for giving me access to your audience this evening, and it was a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Patrick. Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Patrick Johnson, Jr., Interim Executive Director of the Connecticut Association of Nonprofits, ctnonprofits.org, I believe is their website, and People Matter is the People Matter Coalition. You can look that up and find the Connecticut link there.